You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, January 29th, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
I've got news for you. You're all fools. That's right. Every one of you who is here today is a fool. Or at least you want to be one. Whether you know it or not, you want to be a fool. And of course, I'm a fool too. Or at least I'm trying to be one. A fool, that is. Pretty startling to think of yourself as a fool, isn't it? Or to think of this beautiful place with this beautiful wood, the stained glass, the dramatic Christus Rex, as being a home for fools. I call you fools, and I call myself a fool. But better stated, we're all aspiring fools. We're all here today because the message of the cross is speaking to us in some profound way. The message of the cross, what the Apostle Paul calls God's foolishness, is calling us. We're here today, we aspiring fools, because we know, maybe without quite being able to articulate it, that this cross, this symbol of Christ crucified, this stumbling block, is the perfect metaphor for the bringing together of our divided and pain-filled world. Well, what does that even mean? One thing it means is that God is in the middle of everything, especially is God in the middle of the mess, the pain, the tragedy, the sadness, the divisions of real life. It's in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of sin. That's where we can be sure to find God. After all, when we look at that beautiful Christus Rex right there, what do we see? We see God hanging on the cross. We see God being put to death by the powers of this world, or at least so they think. But what that Christus Rex tells us is that the crucifixion of God, our attempt to kill God, is at one and the same time the worst thing that ever happened in human history and the best thing that ever happened in human history. Now that's a big thought. I'm going to invite us to sit with it for just a minute. But maybe we can unpack that thought, that deeply contradictory thought, by observing that life itself has a cross-shaped pattern. Life isn't perfectly consistent, is it? Life isn't perfectly rational the way we'd like it to be. You know, if we were in charge of everything, life would be consistent and predictable and understandable, wouldn't it? And life isn't, on the other hand, random and chaotic either, like the way the cynics and the atheists think it is. No, life is a coincidence of opposites, a coincidence of opposites. That's what the great Franciscan theologian St. Bonaventure observed. Life is a coincidence of opposites. You see the cruciform shape, the cross shape of life? It's a coincidence of opposites. It's a collision of cross purposes. Your life is filled with contradictions that need to be reconciled. Remember that great Kris Kristofferson line, "You're a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction." I think that really sums us up as human beings, doesn't it? It's what makes living so hard sometimes. The holding together of all of these contradictions. And it really feels like crucifixion. You know, we've all been crucified more than once. In fact, many times. And if you're not aware of your own crucifixions, well, you just haven't been paying attention. Holding the opposites, holding the contradictions of life is really, really hard. But we have a pattern to follow. Jesus, the one hanging there on the cross. And what did Jesus do? Well, the simple answer is found in this morning's first reading from the prophet Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly before God? You might say that was Jesus' personal mission statement. His every act was an act of justice. His every thought was a thought of kindness. Every step he took was taken in an act of obedience to his Father's goodwill. And I heard somebody say this week that if you're following Jesus and your heart isn't merciful, it's not Jesus you're following. We're living in this moment in a remarkably divided time. The divisions in our culture are so stark. And the temptation, and that's exactly what it is, it's a temptation, is to align ourselves on one side or the other of all the divides we come across, to see dualistically. You know, it's either all good or it's all bad. It's either all black or it's all white. To say, I'm right and you're wrong. That's a temptation. It's a significant temptation. But you know what it is? It's a demand for perfection. Perfection in ourselves. Perfection in others. Perfection in the world. Ain't gonna happen, folks. You know, all we can do is what we can do. Stand up, speak out, act for justice. And do it with a kind and merciful heart. You know, with a heart that reminds you who you are following, Jesus. Not with an angry, judgmental, my way or the highway heart. And above all, walk humbly before God, seeking God's guidance and God's will in everything. You know, knowing you don't have all the answers, and you won't ever have all the answers. But always, always working to know God's will, God's justice, and then to do it. Look how patient Jesus was with the ones who were broken and weak and had failed. And Jesus was patient with the ordinary. You know, the ordinary stuff of life. Jesus was so patient with all of that. And Jesus was just the opposite of the judgmental, narrow, intolerant spirit of our age. And he sure didn't allow the perfect to become the enemy of the good. You know, following Jesus isn't about finding the right words to say or the right things to do, which will guarantee your entrance into heaven at some remote time in the future. No, and following Jesus isn't about convincing others to conform to your concept of some ideal world. No, following Jesus is about answering the call to love the world the way God loves the world. In all its messiness and all of its contradictions. You know, being in the middle of the pain of life with your eyes wide open. Being in that place of crucifixion. Being on Golgotha. In faith and in trust that your own tomb will finally be empty. The foolishness of the cross, the foolishness of our call to follow the pattern of Jesus' life, that's where salvation lies. In Jesus, who was crucified between two thieves, the good one and the bad one. In Jesus, who's hanging between heaven and earth. In Jesus, who's holding together in his broken body both his humanity and his divinity. In Jesus, who has a male body and a feminine soul. Who was a Jewish believer who forgave and loved everyone, and I do mean everyone, and invited them all to the table. The one who, as the Apostle Paul says, reconciled all things to himself. That's where our salvation lies, following that pattern. And it's nothing but foolishness. You know, Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. He really didn't. Jesus came to do something a whole lot more important. Jesus, meaning God, came among us to live out a message of vulnerability and mercy and unity that's foundational for every religion, that's foundational for every human soul. So in our foolishness, we dare to call Jesus the Savior of the world. Not in any competitive or triumphalistic way. Not in the my religion is better than your religion way that's so prevalent today. No, by definition, vulnerability and mercy and humility don't compete. They don't dominate. Vulnerability and mercy and humility unite. And if that's foolish, if it's foolish to want to be united in love and mercy instead of divided by winners and losers or champs and chumps, well, count me foolish. If it's foolish to want to walk alongside the powerless and the weak and the immigrant and the refugee, well, count me foolish. If it's foolish to want to speak with kindness and mercy in the face of aggression and vitriol, well, count me foolish. If it's foolish to walk humbly and lightly in the world with an open mind and an open heart that doesn't have all the answers, well, count me foolish. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly before God, it's all foolishness to the angry spirit of this age. But my dear sisters and brothers, it's the Jesus way. It's the way of the cross. So here's what I say. I say, let's all be fools. Let's be fools together. Let's let St. Thomas Church be known as a community of fools. Let's be thinking and discerning this week and in the weeks to come. How will we put our foolishness into action? How will we stand up for the ones who can't stand up for themselves? How will we make the way of the cross, the way of the fool, our way of living? What God-blessed foolishness that would be. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.